reduce blood flow to an extremity during exercise. Blood flow restricted rehabilitation allows significant strength gains with minimal stress to the involved joint. This is ideal for anyone that is unable to tolerate high intensity workouts, including pre and post surgery. PT Associates of Emporia at 12th and Industrial, 620-208-7878.
All the latest sports news and views. Actions and reactions. Your questions and comments. This is Saturday Morning Sports Talk on KVOE, 1400 AM, 96.9 FM, live and local.
Welcome to Saturday Morning Sports Talk. Greg Gray, Tim Miller, Dylan Sherwood, and joined in studio by Emporia State Assistant Athletic Director, in charge of media relations, amongst other things. At Emporia State, I keep trying to give Don the promotions and all the kudos.
You actually demoted me there. You made me an assistant instead of an associate.
Oh, shit. Oh, did you get bumped up?
Whatever it is. Yeah, I don't know what it is. I'm an SID. That's what I am.
It's now a sports communicator.
Yeah,
I was going to say, back in my day, it was sports information.
Didn't they?
But I'm old, too.
I know there's, like, different titles among, like, every other, like any other different school. I just feel like Don has the longest title to his name.
It's pretty long. Yeah, it is pretty long.
But he's in studio as well on this Unbound Gravel Saturday. And following along on Twitter and the XL, there have been a number of riders who've already dropped out due to muddy road conditions. I saw where one rider dropped out of the race because the mud tore the derailleur off his bike.
There's going to be some equipment issues, I'm sure, many of them before the day is over.
And they're not allowed to, unless somebody has a backpack that has a 20 gallons worth of water that they can hose off their bicycle after one of those rides. There's not much they can really do on some of those big rides with the just about everybody's underway. I think still, the 50, it still has to get underway.
Maybe the 25.
50s and 25s, I think, start at 9 o'clock. So
there are still a couple races that will get underway yet this morning. The 100s are underway. But and Don Wiest was there catching the beginning of some of those races, as was Chuck Samples and Ron Thomas. And Dylan Sherwood will be out there later today getting interviews, doing live drops from the finish line. And later on this afternoon, we'll have a couple during the 1 o'clock hour, from 1 o'clock to 2 o'clock, and then from 5 to 7, we'll have a couple more drops as well, as we'll continue our coverage of the Unbound Gravel, which has turned into a monumental endeavor. Over 4,000, close to 4,000 bike riders. And if you've been in Emporia and around Emporia the last couple of days, you'd attest it. Yeah, there's that many bike riders around. Had to be careful, and some of them would be riding solo, some would be riding in packs, and we welcome them all along with their support staff and everybody, and hope that everybody does have a safe ride. That'll be wrapping up today, and in fact, the first female rider in the 1,000-mile ride should be finishing here within this hour.
Yeah, it's Trisha Luke, who's actually a year younger than me and graduated from Emporia High in 2012.
All right. So
1,000 miles. You've been on a bike for 1,000 miles.
I don't like driving. They
still don't have a race yet that I would compete
in. Yesterday at the sign-up, I was there helping set up a few things for our live Talk of Emporia shows that we did yesterday, and I asked them, where's the line for the two-mile race? I mean,
that's about it for me. I mean, gosh.
The two-mile or the five-mile. Now, Ron Thomas did 10 miles on
Thursday
with the Torch Run. Or maybe it was 20 miles, because he may have done down and back. I'm not sure.
That I can't tell you.
Congratulations to Ron, and a great support for helping raise funds for Special Olympics. But, of course, he had a motorized bike this year.
Well, that helps a little bit.
Yeah.
It had a little,
I saw it.
Had a little extra help.
That's what I would need.
All right.
I think what I was most pleased about is, what was it, Thursday morning before he goes out on his ride, his total, he announces his total after the 705 newscast, and they're like $100 from 5,000. And then just about that, what about after he got done with his ride, he was at like over $5,700 race, and that's pretty amazing.
Yeah. Thanks for all those and Ron's already thanked everybody for stepping up and offering and making the donations to help out Special Olympics, which are having their state track and field meet this week. After last week, the State High School Activities Association held their state track and field meet down in Wichita, where Dylan and I were stationed most of the day Friday and Saturday, and a lot of outstanding area athletes. And Emporia High came home with a couple of medals, but another outstanding track and field competition and some outstanding stories. And we'll have to do that one of these Saturdays, just relive some of those stories. But the reason we have Don in is just kind of go over 22-23 athletic year for Emporia State Athletics. And, you know, I was thinking, you know, sometimes you always start with the season that was most recent, and why don't we go ahead and just start there? Last weekend, you were in Colorado at Pueblo, and both Colorado Springs, since the team was staying in Colorado Springs, but four athletes go to the Nationals, four athletes pick up All-American honors.
Yeah, it was a great meet for us, the four people that were able to get in there. Just, you know, it's a fantastic thing. Division II track and field is probably done the right way. There's a lot of complaints I know about Division II about regionalization. Well, they don't do that in track and field. They have the best of the best, which is why there were a whole bunch of MIAA athletes in Pueblo last weekend. But, you know, our four people went out there. Everyone finished in the top 10 in the nation. I don't think you can ask for anything more than that right now when you look at it realistically. Got things started off really well with Alyssa Conway. Alyssa is she's a sixth-year athlete at Emporia State. With COVID, with some injuries and everything, actually came here as a javelin thrower and is still ranked in the top five at Emporia State in the javelin, but did some looking when she was younger and kind of looked at her body type and the way she did things and said, hey, you might be a pretty good hammer thrower. Got her out there, tried to do it. Now she's a school record holder. Went out there, went 190 feet. In the hammer on Thursday to get our first All-American, just got everything going great. But then we were able to take, which was really cool, we were able to take Friday off. We didn't have anybody competing on Friday, so Coach Blocker took the entire team out and went through the Garden of the Gods and got a little bit of a high-altitude warm-up day, I guess, for some of the others, hiking around up there, worried about, you know, maybe falling off a mountain or something. But we didn't do that. Everything came through. Then went on Saturday. Three great occasions. Start off, again, early in the morning with Megan McManus, who is already graduated in the pole vault, and she came 1 centimeter. She cleared 1 centimeter below her career best, which is a school record, went over 13 feet, and then had a chance at the next bar, and if she'd have cleared that, she would have finished fourth in the country, which is pretty impressive as it is. She and her height ended up tied for the fifth highest bar, but with all the misses and everything, she ended up finishing 10th and just missed that first team All-American, which comes to the first eight, but still moved up two spots from where she'd entered. Brooks Lowe came in then in one of the most amazing competitions we ever watched in the men's javelin. Colorado State Pueblo, their throws area is outside their stadium, like a lot of places, but they are not really known as a throws school, and the RMAC isn't really known for throws things, so their javelin field area only went out, the grass only went out about 270 feet. Now, usually that would be pretty good. Most Division II people, you're going to throw about 270 at the most. Well, they had four people that threw over 270 feet, and they had two guys that went over 275. So
wow.
they had brought in, after the practice days on Tuesday and Wednesday, they brought in loads of dirt to extend out the throwing area.
That's impressive.
So it was crazy. They were out there, and these guys were throwing in one of the first throws of the second round. You just saw a puff of dirt come up because the guy had hit the dirt. And that made us think, hey, what we're going to do out here, because we've got plenty of room at our javelin area, what we want to do is we want to paint like a gold zone at 275 feet, give them something to throw for. So, but that was great. Brooks came out. He's been battling a little bit of an elbow injury the second half of the season, but he still threw 212 feet, I believe it was, and was able to get ninth. He made the finals, but just missed it, again, in a loaded field. And then our final competitor out there was Travis Morrison, and Travis got his first throw in, wasn't very good. He'll admit that. But then came through and was able to get into the finals on his last throw of the prelims, which moved him up in eighth place, and was able to hang on there and got another All-American performance. So both teams scored at the national meet. First time since 2014 we've had that happen, and just a great day out there in Pueblo.
And now Emporia State gets to gear up for hosting the Nationals, which will be in 2024.
Yep.
So how many pages of notes do you have?
Well, I've got a couple pages of notes. Got a couple binders left over from when we've hosted it in the past. David Spafford, our athletic director, he went out there. He took a couple of notes. He's got a binder coming from their athletic director. This was a good one to go to because the setup at the Thunder Bowl in Pueblo is really kind of similar to what we have here at Welch Stadium. Now, it's a newer stadium, but a lot of it is similar to what we have here, so that helped us look on setup as opposed to, let's say, Grand Valley, where we've been at the last 2 years. That's a little bit different setup, so we couldn't kind of translate some things. But we're starting that process right now, going through some things and looking at what we can do. And in a lot of ways, we're good, but there's still a lot of work that needs to get done.
Well, that was a great way to cap off what in a lot of places was a fairly successful year for Emporia State Athletics.
You know what? Had a person tell me once that if you can have success in the fall, in the winter, and in the spring, you've had a pretty good athletic year. And I'd say we had that when you go back and look through all of it.
Okay. Let's start with the fall because, you look at it, football, soccer, had outstanding seasons. The football team goes to a bowl game, wins a Live United bowl game, and finishes with 9 wins in the season. That's a pretty successful year.
It's an incredible year. And really, if you look at it, if we had been in any other region, I started off talking about how track does it right without regions. Football, you're all regionalized, so probably the top 4 teams in the country were in our region. When you get down to it, with Grand Valley, Ferris State, Pittsburgh State, and Northwest Missouri, those are probably 4 of the top, at least top 5 teams in the country were all in our region. That took up 4 spots. Then you've got to let in some other teams because of the regionalization thing. But, finished 3rd in the MIAA, finished 9-3. You can't get much better than that. Go down there to the Live United Bowl. And, again, that's what I love about Division II football, and especially in this area, is having that bowl system to be able to reward someone that does it. And really, unless you're going to win the national championship, going to a bowl game and winning is a pretty good way to end your season, especially down there at the Live United Bowl. Those people in Texarkana, they really get behind it. It's great from the moment you step foot in town. They've got a police escort to your hotel. They have people there welcoming you to your hotel when you get there. You have police escorts all the way around town. A lot of community service things we were able to do, great things like that. Practicing in a couple of different places, too. It was great. And then, obviously, the winning the football game is a lot better, too.
That made that trip all the worthwhile.
Yeah.
Don, I just wanted to get back on the regional stuff. Is there any talk at all at some point down the road trying to come up with a different system than what's in place?
There's talk about it. There's always going to be talk about it. The thing is, you've got to look. It works well for some schools, and they're going to like that. I mean, the schools that are maybe not funded the way that some schools are, especially in the MIAA, the way we fund in this league, they like the fact they get that representation. But there's some things that need to be done. I mean, the way of saying that this is all about, it's all about saving money. Well, that's not necessarily the case now, the way that conferences have gone, because when it's all based on conferences, you're not necessarily regionally close. Look at it. We're in a different region than a lot of the schools in Missouri are, for example. Right. So, one of the things football's done, they started this a couple of years ago, is they actually let you move within regions who you're playing. Now, you're still read it. You still only get the top whatever it is. I think in football it's 7. They're allowed. They are stuck into that region. But you can move and play somewhere else if it makes more sense economically for him to do it. So I think that's a start in a move in the right direction. I know that Mike Racy, the commissioner of the MIAA, he's a big proponent of, you know, looking at this and maybe being able to change that a little bit. We're the only level of college sports that truly kind of does it that way when you get right down to it. Even the NAIA, in a lot of ways, they have the ability to move around, so you're not stuck with one or two. So.
Well, I just equate it so much to the way the high schools used to be when they had the district format.
Yep.
And you may have a district that is just loaded. Mm-hmm. And then you also have a district where you'd be lucky, talking football specifically, you may have a team that's even above 500.
Right.
And one of them is going to be in the postseason.
Yeah, in the old school, you could go 3-6 and make the playoffs.
Exactly.
And win the last three games.
So that's kind of how I equate it to in a lot of ways.
Yep.
And then, in soccer, has one of its best seasons ever, making it to the regional championship or semifinals. Was it
regional championship? Championship match. The way that soccer is, again, a little bit different the way they do it, just spacing and everything. So they actually play the first two games of the regional are played at one site, and then there are two regions that meet in one site. So you go play your regional championship, and then 2 days later you're going to play in the whatever that would be, the Elite Eight then, before they take the Final Four. So, but yeah, that was a great run. First time ever to the Sweet 16. Mackenzie DeMarco, again, just incredible when you look at what she did with 23 goals, led the nation in scoring. But you've also got Hannah Woolery and Joni Westcote. I mean, people that are All-American level players there. And the great news about that is they're all back. Wow. All three of those guys are back. It should be a special day. And Coach Seiler actually was able to recruit a JUCO All-American score to go along with DeMarco up front. So she may not have 23 goals this year, but Emporia State might have a whole lot more than that. So that's an exciting time. Again, didn't have the opportunity to host it this year like we did last year. Couldn't quite understand that. Again, we, did pretty good and weren't able to get it, but hey, that's fine. We'll go through that, have that back next year. And then one of the interesting things next year is they're going to actually move the MIAA tournament to a neutral site location. So that'll be a little bit different.
And speaking of Mackenzie DeMarco, she's one of the five finalists for the Kim B. Jones Award on the women's side, and we'll find out on Tuesday whether she is another Kim B. Jones Award winner in the long list of Emporia State athletes who have earned that honor.
We have, and that's for people who are listening don't know. Kim B. Jones Award is the Student Athlete of the Year for the MIAA, and it incorporates a little bit of everything. Incorporates 50% of it is obviously your athletic ability, but then there's a 30% academic side and a 20% on community service stuff. And you look at the finalists, and the only one that was both an academic All-American and an All-American in their sport was Mackenzie DeMarco.
You'd think she had a pretty good shot, wouldn't you?
You would think so. And she's also someone who's helped out with Special Olympics. She's helped out, the Polar Plunge stuff. She's done laps for Landon. She coaches youth sports stuff. She does a lot of things within the community, too. So
wow.
I would think so. I mean, if I had a vote, I would have put her number one.
Absolutely.
As hopefully she'll earn that award. And speaking of that, before we go to break, part of that award ceremony will also be a couple of past Lady Hornet greats will be inducted into the MIAA Hall of Fame on Tuesday.
Yeah, we'll have Cassandra Boston Richards now and Brittany Miller, now Pitts, will both go into the MIAA Hall of Fame. Requirements for that is you have to have been inducted into your own Hall of Fame, so it's kind of weird. Each school does it different. Some people you have to be out for 5 years. Here at Emporia State, we think you need to be out for 10 years because we want to make sure that there's no recency bias, so to speak, on it. So get a little bit off there and maybe make it mean a little bit more. So this was basically their first and second year eligibility to get into the MIAA Hall of Fame. And obviously Cassandra, great player, MIAA Player of the Year, another academic All-American, All-American on the court, Kim B. Jones Award, was a NCAA Woman of the Year finalist, one of the top 30 for that, led Emporia State to the national championship in 2010 in basketball, obviously. Fantastic player. Now back in Emporia now as her husband, Jeff Richards, now an assistant football coach for the Hornets. He himself an All-MIAA player from Emporia State. And then Brittany was a two-sport athlete, both basketball and volleyball, All-American on the volleyball court, was part of that team that made it to the Sweet 16, won the MIAA championship, won 30 matches, hosted the regional in White Auditorium. It was amazing. I just remember that time. We'd have 2,000 people in White Auditorium for a volleyball match, and it was just an electric atmosphere. And then Brittany was also a member of that Lady Hornet basketball championship team and was on the all-tournament team at the Elite Eight. Just, you know, fantastic player.
And those both will be honored on Tuesday, part of MIAA Awards Days. We need to get our first break in. We'll take our first break, and we'll be back with more right after this timeout. This is Saturday Morning Sports Talk. We're driven by LongmineAuto.com.
Everyone's transportation needs are different, and everyone knows that. Depending on your stage of life, your needs will continue to change. That's why, at Longbine Auto Plaza, we're ready to help you find the right vehicle and provide you with the best customer service available, too. We have a professional sales team that can match your needs with the right new Chevy or Buick models. Or if you're looking for a pre-owned model, we've got those, too. We'll even be glad to make an offer to you on your current vehicle if you're wanting to sell it. Remember, after the sale, our award-winning service will always be ready to keep you on the road. Our commitment to you, our customer, will always be there. So come in today and let us help you find what you're looking for. That's Longbine Auto Plaza in Emporia. Come see us or visit us at www.longbineauto.com. Longbine Auto Plaza, where we do business right. Chevy, find new roads.
I'm Ryan Radke with This Week in the NCAA on Westwood One. For the first time ever, both semifinals in Division I men's lacrosse went to overtime. Duke downed Penn State and Notre Dame knocked off Virginia to meet in the title game on Memorial Day, with the Irish capping off their golden weekend.
Zeros on the clock and it's over! History for Notre Dame! For the first time ever, the Fighting Irish has won the lacrosse national championship! The long wait is over! 2023 is the year of the Irish in college lacrosse!
Dave Ryan right here on Westwood One as Notre Dame defeated Duke 13-9. The Fighting Irish held the top-seeded Blue Devils to their lowest scoring game of the season, thanks in part to their goalie Leon Entenmann. The senior had a season-high 18 saves. Kevin Corrigan has been Notre Dame's head coach since 1989.
It's a long time coming, so it's not like, you know, I haven't thought about this before, but just to be on the field and see these guys, to see one of your teams celebrate going all the way and winning this thing is an amazing feeling.
The Wildcats are roaring again. That's next on This Week in the NCAA.
Have you ever noticed that when the afternoon light hits your floors, you can see everything, including dust?
So much dust.
And that floor dust gets kicked up into the air, compromising the quality of air you and your family breathe.
Eesh.
Swiffer Heavy Duty Sweeper is the fast and easy way to clean your floors with ultra-thick pads that trap and lock dust before it gets in the air. Just a couple minutes a day,
and dust is gone.
Swiffer Heavy Duty Sweeper. Proud partner of the American Lung Association.
Boston College 18-6 last weekend to win the Women's D1 Lacrosse Championship. It's their eighth title in program history and first since 2012. The Wildcats were led by graduate student Izzy Skane. She set her school's career and single-season goal record in the win. That's This Week in the NCAA. I'm Ryan Radke on Westwood One.
Live and local sports news and views. Saturday Morning Sports Talk on 96.9 FM and 1400 AM KVOE.
Welcome back. Saturday Morning Sports Talk, driven by LongmineAuto.com. Greg Ray, Tim Miller, Dylan Sherwin in studio, visiting with Don Weiss with Emporia State University as we're recapping the 22-23 athletic year, and we make our transition into the winter seasons, basketball, and Emporia State men's basketball team takes another step, makes it to the NCAA regional tournament, and wins their first ever NCAA tournament game. What another outstanding year for Coach Craig Doty as he continues to grow this men's basketball program.
Oh, without a doubt. And again, we talked earlier about the regionalization. I mean, really, this should have been our second year in a row of going to the NCAA tournament. Last year, they won 20 games, but were edged out of the regional tournament because we're in such a tough region, whereas there were teams that were ranked in the national and the Massey ratings, who were ranked 187th in the country, got in. We were ranked 47th and didn't get in. But anyway, that's another thing. That was last year. This year, though, we're able to get in. Win a school record for NCAA time. 23 games this year, put on a great show. And again, kind of with a little bit of a new cast. I mean, that was the exciting thing here. Last year, you look at it, you had a Trey Buchanan who led the nation in scoring, and Jamari Turner, who was a 1,000-point, 1,300-point scorer at Emporia State. You know, that 1-2 punch, both were able to graduate and move on. And now, you know, what are you going to do? Well, we just kind of turn the page, bring in some other players that will lead the league in scoring, and an Owen Long or Elijah Cometheer, and we still had the same olds that were there with a Mayim Boum or a Caden Evans and Peyton Rogers-Schmidt. You know, still some consistency to it to build out and get that roster balance that Coach Doty talks about. And, you know, we've kind of hit that part now and have a lot of those guys coming back, which is really special. When you, again, look at 23 wins in this league, that's very special. It's very difficult to do. Had some very big wins, both at home and on the road. Just a great time with that. And then when you get into that NCAA tournament, you never know what's going to happen that first time through because it's a little bit different. But we're able to get through that and get that first win against a team that's traditionally in Northern State, that's one of the powerhouse names that you look at in Division II basketball. I mean, they were, other than Northwest Missouri, they've probably one of the more successful teams in the region and in the nation over the last 10 years. And locked them off in that first round. Then had to play Minnesota Duluth. And Duluth was a team that just was kind of one of those destiny teams, I think. Looked really good that first half. We looked really good. And then just something kind of happened there in the second half. Couldn't quite pull it out. But still, great run with that. And, again, a lot of those guys coming back.
Yeah, four of the five starters will be back for Coach Doty. And I know he's been bringing players in left and right, it seems like. And he's going to shore up that roster and get them ready to go. And I'm excited to see how his season goes this next year because it gets started early for them. They're going to make a trip down to Florida to play in a tip-off classic that features some of the top teams in the country. So they get an early start. And then the weekend I'm sure you're looking forward to, Don, this upcoming season, is that first live weekend of basketball, where in the previous years, Emporia State men and women have both been on the road for the MIAA-GAC crossover. Both men and women will be at home for that first-round tournament. And the football season's not over with yet, and the volleyball season and the soccer season's still not over with yet. So there's going to be a lot going on that particular weekend in November.
Just a little bit. Just a little bit. It's all part of it, though. You know, that's what you want. That's what you want. You want to be successful, and you want to have that opportunity to host those things. It's kind of weird the way this whole worked out that we're both hosting at the same time. Because everybody eventually, these are four teams involved in both of these tournaments, so it's a four-year contract. And, you know, they start talking about, hey, well, we can't do it this year because we've got something. We can't do it this year because we got something. Well, now eventually it all comes into place where we have to host it now. So, you know, things are in place, and we'll do it. It'll be fun. It'll be a great time. Hopefully it'll be a great – it also happens to be Veterans Day weekend, so a lot of things happening in Emporia that weekend. So it'll be good, and hopefully, like you say, hopefully volleyball and soccer are both still playing at that point in time, and we'll get it done somehow.
And football that particular weekend happens to be out at Hayes.
Right, right, right. Not just against Fort Hayes. Not a big game or anything. Not true. The last game of the regular season. Potentially have a playoff bid on the line. Nothing big like that. So
truly crossover season.
Very, very 100% crossover season.
And also, before we do leave basketball, the men had an outstanding year. The women. The win-loss record, not what they were hoping for, but for one player in particular, what a nice season, what a nice career for her, Treasure Job.
Oh, without a doubt. She is one of the, you know, she's going to go down as one of the greats in Emporia State history. I mean, one of only three players to score 2,000 points, was here all 4 years, four-time All-MIAA performer, two-time All-American. And I'm just so happy for her that she gets this opportunity now. You know, she's graduated. She's given Emporia State all she can give. Thanks to COVID, she has a actual fifth, and well, in her case, it's a sixth year, but a fifth year of actual competition on the court. And she's going to take that to Wichita State and see what she can do at Division I. And I think that's very similar to what a Ryan Hawkins at Northwest Missouri did on the men's side. He played his 4 years at Northwest Missouri, then had the opportunity as a grad transfer to go to Creighton and was able to take them into the NCAA tournament. So I'm really excited for what Wichita State will be able to do
next year, and hopefully Treasure will be a big part of that. But, you know, you talked about an early start to the season. Yeah, the men are going to start early in November, but the women are going to start in August when they have a trip to Italy.
Are you going to that, Don?
I probably will not be making that trip.
Oh, man.
I know. I probably won't be making that trip, but I'm still trying to talk Greg. Greg needs to go so we can broadcast so we know what's going on. I think, you know, we need to get that done here. So, but that'll be a fun trip, and, you know, Coach Osterman, he'll get opportunity to, you know, kind of meet his team a little bit and get some time in advance before the regular season starts. So I think that's going to be a great situation for us.
Yeah, that'll be August 7th. I'm not sure when they're coming back, but I know August 7th is when they're either planning on living or leaving or playing at least their first game. So it'll be the early part of August. And that is also the same time that football gets their fall camp underway, and soccer and volleyball all get their seasons underway. And for volleyball, a new head coach will be taking over the volleyball program. And Coach Merchak just announced the signing of 7 new players, and also the schedule released. He's going to have to play, you know, you look at it, first 4 games on the road, but it's 2 tournaments.
Right.
But then at home on September the 15th against Fort Hays State, open up MIAA play, and things will get underway. And I'm sure he's pretty excited about getting the team ready to go.
Oh, very excited. I mean, he's a guy that's, you know, he lives and breathes volleyball. He was a player, still plays a little bit too. Very successful at that. He's coached a lot of different places and had success wherever he has gone. And just, you know, kind of bringing a little bit of a new age kind of look into things. We're doing a lot more video review, which in volleyball you haven't seen a whole lot of that, I don't think. But he does a lot of that on people, both practice and their matches they were able to play during the spring. Spring was a little bit different because for a lot of their matches they weren't able to have Shelby Ebert with them because Shelby was obviously competing in disc golf at the time on that program. So, but, you know, they had some success, and they got better from the beginning to the end as they learned how to kind of take his style and what he wants to do with things. So I'm really excited to see what happens with volleyball. It can be an exciting sport, and I think he's going to be ready to get things going.
And one sport we did mention was disc golf. The men finished 2nd in the nation in their very first year of competition.
That was incredible. And the thing is, that was with a team that Coach McCabe just kind of, I don't want to say just threw it together, but it didn't. He got it pretty quick. I mean, it wasn't a whole lot of recruiting going on, and he's been able to do some more recruiting now. So this should be exciting. I mean, that was – if you'd have told me 10 years ago that I would be working a softball game at Emporia State, but following the disc golf national championships online and giving hole-by-hole updates, I mean, I wouldn't have believed you. But it's exciting, and they've got some good guys. They've got some guys that got some personality to them. And, you know, it was just, I just felt terrible for them. They made a great comeback to take the lead in the final round, and then just double bogey on that 17 that put them out of there. And one of the more difficult baskets on the entire course, actually, that they did it. They just kind of went for it and got in a bad situation. But, again, first year of the program, going to a national competition, competing in the rain, and then able to just finish 2nd by just a stroke or two. I mean, that's amazing.
Yeah, I think the temperature was in the 30s, and it was not what you would call ideal. It's not the type of weather that the DDO will have next in 2 weeks when they come to town. In fact, you look at their last couple of tournaments, and it was winter.
Yeah. Yeah,
it was winter that they were playing in, winter weather conditions, and I would be thinking, do I really want to play in this?
Yeah, especially in April. You're thinking April in North Carolina, and you're thinking it's not going to be that bad, but it was pretty bad. So, but you know that's an exciting team, and we're glad to get that thing going on. And again, I think some of those guys are going to be competing in the DDO, and they'll get after it a lot. And I'm so excited by the way those guys have done it and the way they've kind of embraced being a part of the athletic department too.
This is Saturday Morning Sports Talk. We need to get a final break in. We'll take that, and we'll be back with more right after this timeout. This is Saturday Morning Sports Talk. We're driven by LongmineAuto.com.
Everyone's transportation needs are different, and everyone knows that. Depending on your stage of life, your needs will continue to change. That's why at Longbine Auto Plaza, we're ready to help you find the right vehicle and provide you with the best customer service available too. We have a professional sales team that can match your needs with the right new Chevy or Buick models. Or if you're looking for a pre-owned model, we've got those too. We'll even be glad to make an offer to you on your current vehicle if you're wanting to sell it. Remember, after the sale, our award-winning service will always be ready to keep you on the road. Our commitment to you, our customer, will always be there. So come in today and let us help you find what you're looking for. That's Longbine Auto Plaza in Emporia. Come see us or visit us at www.longbineauto.com. Longbine Auto Plaza, where we do business right. Chevy, find new roads.
Live and local sports news and views. Saturday morning sports talk on 96.9 FM and 1400 AM KVOE.
Welcome back. Saturday morning sports talk. We're driven by LongbineAuto.com. Greg Ray along with Tim Miller and Dylan Sherwood as we enter the final stretch, visiting with Emporia State University's Don Wiest as we wrap up the 22-23 year, and I think we've kind of done that, but looking forward to 23-24 on so many levels. I'm so excited about what Emporia State has a chance to accomplish. You look at it, a lot of the sports, and they return a lot of quality athletes, and then a couple sports with new coaches. We mentioned volleyball. Coach Merchak is taking over that program and looking to see how he develops that program. And then you get into the wintertime, and new head women's basketball coach, Brian Osterman, who was previously at Kansas State, and talking with him, he's already signed a couple of players, but not quite ready to announce who they are. And he's getting it. I met the new assistant basketball coaches yesterday. I was happened to be stepping in, and he'll be announcing those here in not too distant future. And I know he's excited about getting things going. Of course, he gets the trip to Italy too, and I know he's excited about that. Then you get into the springtime, and next year we'll have a new head baseball coach and a former Hornet taking over that position, Brad Hill, who has had tremendous success at not only the Division II level, but at the Division I level with Central Missouri and Kansas State. And I visited with him last Friday, and he's really excited to get back into being a head coach and coaching baseball. And I know he's ready to get going. And we'll get a chance to talk to him face-to-face on Thursday of next September or June the 8th.
Yep. I mean, you talk about, you know, saying it's a home run hire is kind of a cliche, especially for baseball, but this was a grand slam, if you ask me. I just don't know if you can get any better. Brad, I mean, he's an Emporia State alum, a four-time All-American, arguably the greatest hitter Emporia State has ever produced. You look at what he did at Central Missouri, 9 years there, nine NCAA tournaments, went to five World Series, won the national championship, so he understands Division II, goes to K-State, has great success there. You look at the length of that career at a Power 5 school in the north and was able to go to a super regional at a school that, you know, let's face it, K-State not exactly known as a baseball school.
No.
And you're competing against the Texas and Oklahoma and Texas, all those schools. I mean, that's an incredible accomplishment there. You know, then spent some time away from the sport a little bit, and then, or not necessarily away from the sport, but away from the college game. Did some clinics and stuff, ran some camps and whatnot back in Colorado for a while, got himself in touch with, you know, teaching the sport again, so to speak. That's how he said it. You know, he got into the down and dirty, because when you're a Division I, especially a Power 5 manager, you are a manager. You don't get to necessarily work with the kids. You don't have to do this much, because you've got, you don't only have a pitching coach, you've got a starters coach, you've got a relievers coach, you've got this, you got that, you got everything. So, you know, he's able to get in with the kids a little bit and get some more of that talk, and then spend a year at Northwestern. One of his former players was the head coach at Northwestern, so asked him to come in, and he helped out with the infield defense was his main area of concentration, and they set a school record for fielding percentage. So I'm telling you what, Brad Hill knows how to coach baseball. There's no doubt about that. And really excited. Our alumni base have really gotten excited about this. You know, we put this out on social media, and it is blown up. I mean, we got more interactions with this hire than we have for anything else that we've done in probably forever when you look at it. So really excited about that, and he'll be an opportunity to get that going. Now we're going to have – you know, he's going to have to go look for one more coach because Brock Nels, who was our pitching coach last year, just was able this week, got named the head baseball coach at Hutchinson Community College. So congratulations to Brock and Ash and the family. So that was a great move for him.
I think he becomes the third former Hornet that is head coach at Hutch, joining Brad Hill, who formerly coached there, and Wilson Kilmer.
Yeah, great thing there. You know, I mean, Emporia State baseball has got a pretty strong tradition to it when you look at it. I mean, three coaches in the MIAA are going to be Emporia State grads this year. So when you look at, you know, Coach Hill and then Coach Brunelli down at Pitt and Coach Martin down at Oklahoma or Central Oklahoma. So there's quite a bit of coaching tree. And again, top coaching tree. We'll have this kind of with the press conference on Thursday, 1 o'clock, Souder Alumni Center. Be there. Feel free. It's open to the public. Come on down for that. That'd be great to have people there and welcome him. But you know, one of the things we're going to have with that is his coaching tree, and his coaching tree is unbelievable. You look at all the places he's got people at. So,
and then you look at all the other plans that are in place to improve Emporia State, from assistant coaches making sure they're getting paid and adding assistant coaches for some sports, scholarship money that's being directed towards bringing in the Jimmies and the Joes. Because when you get down to it, if you don't have the Jimmies and the Joes, you're not going to win very many games or be as competitive as you need to be. And then also the facility improvement plan that's been put together. It is so exciting to see that there's a focus and there's a plan that's being ready to put into place.
There's a lot of things in place that are going to really help out and I think really move us forward. You think about, you know, the facilities that Emporia State has right now, when you compare us to the rest of Division II, the other 300 schools in Division II, we're some of the top facilities in the country in Division II. However, when you compare us to the rest of the MIAA, there's a lot of places where we're not at the top of that, you know, and that's being a middle-of-the-road team in the MIAA is still elite for Division II, but we're not competing against the rest of Division II. We're competing against the MIAA because of the regionalization system. So we have to look at where we're at and improve some of those things. And, you know, there are times with today's kids that, you know, you're not even going to get the visit if you don't have something shiny for them to look at. And some of this stuff is really going to be important, not only to attract new recruits, but it's also going to help out with us being able to play games more efficiently. It's going to hopefully improve the fan environment. I mean, Welch Stadium, we need to get new bleachers at Welch Stadium. You know, I mean, there's things there that are just kind of they're not always the safest there. You look at some of the concrete work, we need to get that redone. A lot of deferred maintenance that needs to be taken care of. That's part of what this is all going to be on. And plus the all, you know, hopefully the nice new shiny stuff that we talked about as well.
And there are a lot of plans. And I'm planning on having David Spafford in one of these Saturdays and talk about the plan that he has for facility improvements and all that is involved at Emporia State, because there's a lot that needs to be people need to know that, you know, hey, here's a plan and your help is going to be needed to do this.
Without a doubt. And we're doing things on our own too. I mean, one of the things that's really helping us out, and this was started actually back when President Garrett was here, but the lower 48 plan for tuition and scholarship, that's going to help us out a lot, because where it used to cost us, you know, $35,000 for a full scholarship out of state, that's been reduced down now for every student, not just athletics, but every student, and that helps us on our cost too. But, you know, so now maybe we can come up where we were offering three scholarships in a sport that you could, the NCAA max was 9. Now maybe that'll get us between a combination of the lower scholarship cost, but increased giving. We still need the increased giving, but that combination gets us up to where maybe instead of giving 3, we're given 7, 8, 9, and we can compete with those other schools that are given the max.
And then also this summer, the auction's usually what, in August? Has that date been set yet?
We're looking at some of those things right now, kind of how we're going to do that. We're actually just finished up. We're in the process of finishing up something called Hornet Drive, which has been kind of a behind-the-scenes fundraising drive that we're trying to do, both here in Emporia. I think Jim Kessler may have been one of the captains for that here locally, but then also we've got people in Topeka and Kansas City where we're trying to raise some money that way, maybe not with the full-out public auction thing. We're working on that, though, getting a date where we can do something similar to that maybe, Not sure it'll be the exact same way that it's been in the past, along with the golf thing. Probably looking at something maybe in September. Just, you know, one, get away from some of the heat of August. That's kind of rough when you're doing it right then. But you also have to be careful. You know, let's make sure we've got it around a game where we've got people here and we don't want to have all our teams gone and, you know, be involved. Because I think that's an important part of that when we do those is our best ambassadors are our student athletes.
And the thing that has made Emporia State, I think, extra special is the one thing that we haven't touched about is the success of the community service from these teams. Emporia State is one of the top Division II schools in the nation when it comes to community service, and that means students getting involved in the community, doing stuff to help the community out, whether it's at the elementary level or other areas. Emporia State has become one of the top schools when it comes to the title is Helper Helper, and Emporia State has for all their sports, has been among the tops in the nation.
Oh, without a doubt. When you look at it, I think men's basketball is a two-time national champion at community service when you look at it. And, again, that's a combination of being able to both go out and do things, but then it's based on within your team size, so it's an average hour and percentage of participation by your team. So, but that's just a great thing. We have that. Baseball was also a national champion, I believe, in that. Softball's been near the top all the time. Softball was actually number two in Division II softball, but they were the number two team in the country in community service. And this Helper Helper just happened that the number one team was also a softball team. So, but yeah, it's great to get out there. I mean, Emporia State, you look at historically, the Lady Hornet basketball team, for example, is the only program in Division II history to win what I would call the Triple Crown. They've won a national championship on the court. They've won a national championship when it comes to academics. They had the top GPA 1 year, and they've also led the nation in attendance. So you got those three things. And then the women's basketball in the past have been in the top five in the country, too, in community service. So, I mean, that's what we're striving for now. I have to get Coach O to get us in there so we can win that one and be the quadruple crown winner. But that's, you know, those are things we do. We like to have, we think Division II, part of that is balance, and I think we've got great balanced student athletes that are able to do a lot of different things. It's not all about participating and winning in sports, although that's a big part of it, and we want to win. I mean, if we're going to put a score up there, we'd rather be on the good side of it than the bad side of it. Mm-hmm. So, and we're going to do everything we can to try and get there, and that's what we need help doing sometimes. That's where, you know, I know Spaff was in here the other day, and, you know, he's not afraid to ask for a little help every once in a while. So, you know, if you'd like to help out Emporia State Athletics, make sure you get a hold of Jason Santangelo or David Spafford, and they'll tell you how that money can go and help us.
Definitely. Well, let's go to wrap it up for us on this Saturday morning. Before we do go, I want to say a big thank you to Don Wiest, because if it weren't for the work of Don Wiest and his staff, my job would be a whole lot more difficult to do. And I do appreciate everything that he does, from his stats to lining up interviews to making sure I've got all my game notes and all the information I need to let everybody else know about Emporia State Athletics. But Don Wiest, in my mind, the best MIAA SID, as he does it a lot on his own. He has a little bit of help, but hopefully that'll change here in a little bit, and has changed a little bit here with the addition of a couple of new people. But Don, on my behalf, thank you for all you do.
Well, thank you, but I wouldn't be able to do all this if I didn't have people like you and Dylan and even the Topeka TV stations and the Gazette and all those people still that, you know, it matters here. People care about it, and they want to be involved in it, and that makes it a lot better. So thank you.
Well, that's going to wrap it up for us on this Saturday morning. Again, please watch out for all the bike riders who are still out there as part of Unbound Gravel Weekend, as the races are underway. In fact, the last race might be just getting underway right now, the 50 and 25-mile riders getting underway. So please be cautious of the riders, especially if you're out in the county and you're out on those gravel roads. Might want to be leery of that, and I don't know if I want to be driving down some of those gravel roads right now with as muddy as they are.
No.
So please be extra vigilant as you are out there driving around the county today and throughout the evening tonight. For Tim Miller and Dylan Sherwood and Don Wiest, I'm Greg Ray. This has been Saturday Morning Sports Talk. We've been driven by LongPineAuto.com.
Since 1939, news, weather, and sports.
KVOE, 1400 AM Emporia, 96.9 FM, K245 BQ Emporia.